call the regularly scheduled meeting for February 19th of the Madison Plains Board of Election or Board of Education meeting to order. I'd like to welcome all the public and ask, we have two people signed in to speak this evening. Are there any other people that would like to speak? We're going to ask that those speeches be kept 3 to 5 minutes in order to have the board have a full working session and agenda this evening. All right. And can you call roll, please?
Sure. Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Dodds?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mr. Hall's present.
Mr. Devlin, do you need this?
Sure.
Thanks.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. We will move right to the board work session. Do you have any board work session items? Anything here? I will move on to, this will go to public communication. First person on public communication list, Mr. Swanger. You have the floor.
Well, I've got some information that you folks can read. Take one and pass it down. And while that's coming around, you'll notice on there, on the back, there's a statement that says, Toll's Career and Technical Center will be the choice of students and families for career, technical, and academic education. And Toll's Career and Technical Center serves students by providing career-focused learning opportunities that will prepare them for successful careers and lifelong learning. Those were adopted at the December meeting, so we've got those in line. We've got them as simple as we can get them, and decisions about programs, curriculum, whatever it happens to be, if it doesn't meet those two missions or visions, we don't do it. On the other side are the numbers, and if you look over those, you can see that we are down some at the Career and Technical Center. We are up in satellites. And if you take a look down at, towards the bottom of that thing, you'll see that Hilliard and Dublin like to have their VOTEC programs at their school. And if you have enough kids to put in a program, we will make sure that it gets funded. So we are on the docket for doing satellites because that gets programs to the kids in their school. They don't have to travel, and of course nobody gets to see the countryside like Madison Plains students who get to ride 30 miles up there and lose about an hour or so a day. The other thing that I've got, we are continuing primarily to work on things that prepare our kids for the future. I've just got some data here as far as our attendance rate went from 89.7% last year to 93.03%, so we now match most of the schools in the district. Our passage rate for classroom was 78% last year. This year, 88%. That also includes our special ed kids. We only had one special ed kid that failed a course so far this year. So we don't like the fact that there's one, but that's not bad. In detentions, 241, that means you got in trouble and you got to spend your lunch hour, whatever, in detention. In-school suspensions went from 371 last year to 140 this year. Suspensions, 140 last year, 40 this year. Expulsions, 9 last year, This year so far, one. We're keeping them in school, and essentially they're finding out that they can't get away with anything, so the kids are being better. But that's pretty much what's going on. We continue to recruit. We need to get those numbers up. I know here at Madison Plains we've got about 65% of our students going on to post-secondary education. We're about 15% low, and incidentally, that number includes tolls. Our number of tolls for kids is 65%, and here at Madison Plains we're 65, and that 65 here at Plains includes kids from tolls, but we already know that 30% of jobs take a college education, and another 60% require post-secondary education beyond high school, unless you like flipping burgers at McDonald's and want to work for poverty level wages. And hopefully our kids are going to do better than that. We just have to play ride to boot. Anyway, that's all I've got. If there's anything that you are particularly interested or want to know about, let me know. I'll get the information and bring it back. The only other thing I have tomorrow night, if you got time, 6 o'clock is open house. Give you people a chance to come in from the community, take a look at the programs. There'll be kids there working on things. Teachers will be there. And if you're really dedicated, I wouldn't recommend this, but there is a board meeting following open house. And I'm going to go to that one. As Kelly said, I had my report done when I came in because I missed the last Tolls board meeting. So,
well, thank
anyway,
you.
Anyway, that's all I have. If you
thank
have
you very
any
much,
questions
Doug.
Or anything, let me know.
We appreciate it. We look forward to future reports. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, Melissa Schaefer.
My name is Melissa Schaefer. My address is 330 Rosewood Avenue, Mount Sterling, Ohio 14143. We have three children who attend Madison Plains schools. Samantha, who is a senior, Jennifer in eighth grade, and Kenny, who's in fifth grade. Jennifer was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in second grade, which is March of 2008. Jennifer needed a 504 medical plan. After 4 years of delays, implementation of new forms, denials about qualifying status, and excessive expense to hire independent legal counsel, Jennifer's 504 plan became a reality in June of 2012. These plans, like IEPs, are to be revised yearly, traditionally in the spring, so when the school year starts, everything is ready to go and everyone is on the same page. Jennifer's plan was not revised or reevaluated last spring, 2013. The meeting was held on November 20th, 2013. We asked at this time why her plan was not handled in the traditional fashion and requested a copy of the board's policy on such matters. We have not yet received our copy of the board policy. We also requested the district's plan on caring for Jennifer during out-of-state trips, such as the Washington, D.C. trip. This has traditionally been a ninth grade trip, but was changed this year on short notice to include eighth graders. We cannot permit her to go out of state like this unless we know there's an adult individual capable of caring for her medical needs. Would you, if it was your child? We would also like to know the board's policy on the level of training necessary to care for medically fragile students. There seems to be a general lack of support for activities that occur outside the traditional school day. For example, basketball games and track meets. Also, last spring, the leadership decided that a first-year teacher who had never given Jennifer an insulin injection would be in charge of doing so in the middle of Kings Island. This type of mismanagement requires the parents to attend in order for the child to participate and not end up in the hospital. The cheerleading advisor told me she was not informed that Jennifer was a diabetic. She was told by one of the other cheerleaders. We find it inappropriate that personnel responsible for her care are not being supported, while at other times her privacy is ignored and her health issues are discussed publicly. So we figure we might as well continue to discuss them publicly. Perhaps we can get some positive action. For example, in front of other students at sporting events, injections given in front of groups of students, and negative comments on the school bus. She was recently told that she was not allowed to drink water on the bus, as this was against the rule, and she should not use her diabetes as an excuse. And she would be expected to clean the bus as punishment. And everybody knows diabetics drink more water and go to the restroom more frequently than people who do not have this medical condition. This is not a new concept. She's been a diabetic for 6 years in this district. Jennifer has also endured comments about taking care of herself from numerous people. On January 15, 2014, we were sent a revised copy of the 504 plan on new forms, of course. This was 2 months after our meeting and a month past the deadline to apply for the Washington, D.C. trip. Just because a plan has been created does not mean it is a quality document that meets the needs of the child. The present document is inadequate. The purpose of the 504 plan is to clarify what actions the district is going to do for the student. It is inappropriate that the document focuses on actions the parents are going to do for the student. We feel that 6 years is more than sufficient time to correctly address this matter. The document also states that no information has been provided about how to care for her in the evenings or overnight, which isn't true because we provide her doctor's notes from Children's Hospital at the beginning of every year. So the district is informed. The fact that there are still so many negative issues leads us to believe there's a general attitude of neglect and harassment being supported, even though the child is entitled to much better under federal law. One simply has to question as to why, in order to have a positive situation, the Board of Education must be appealed to or legal counsel engaged. It is our hope that with the installation of the new board, that the matter will be addressed quickly, easily, and appropriately. If not, the present arrangement could negatively impact activities next year, such as the New York trip as well, as we're told that that's being planned for the ninth graders as opposed to 10th graders. We also have some concerns regarding some high school courses, weighted grades, grade point averages or GPAs, and class rank determinations. The students have been given different student handbooks with various changes every year. There are contradictory statements, incorrect course listings, and confusing phrasing. For example, there is no AP government class. There is no class titled British Literature, but these are included in the handbook as being weighted courses, but you can't take a class labeled that. Why are changes not implemented over time as the need presents itself? We consider it inappropriate to make major changes after the sophomore year. After students have taken weighted upperclassmen courses, it is unprofessional, misleading, and unfair to not use these weighted grades in a positive fashion. The current handbook states, quality points will be assigned to reflect the rigor of various courses and used to compute grade point average. It also states that weighted GPAs will then not be used to determine class rank. The situation has evolved from A, weighted grades being used to determine class rank, to B, calculating GPAs multiple ways, both weighted and unweighted, to now C, we're only using unweighted grades to determine class rank. There's also a statement that as a senior, in order to be ranked number one or number two, a student must receive an A in either British literature, which doesn't exist, calculus, or physics. Traditionally, all three courses must be taken and a grade of A earned. Essentially, a senior could play it safe by taking less rigorous courses, and those who took these courses at a grade of B would be ranked lower. If the district no longer wants to issue weighted grades, the decision needs to be made in advance, not after the fact. The concept of not earning weighted credit unless a student passed an AP test is also addressed. This is ludicrous, since results would not be available until after commencement, therefore useless. How could one ever be expected to pass an AP exam in any subject unless the AP curriculum is strictly followed? For example, the only way to earn weighted credit in physics is to pass the AP physics test, even though AP physics is not offered at the high school. Therefore, impossible to achieve. It appears that situations have been created in which students are not set up for success. However, their inability to achieve the standard, therefore academically inadequate, would be blamed. I also have some concerns about end-of-course assessments as opposed to end-of-course exams. It is rumored at the high school that the same group of seniors are going to be required to complete ACT subject tests for their exams in certain courses. As there are no other guidelines, other groups could complete much simpler activities, such as 10 question quizzes or some easy activity, what have you. There seems to be a lack of consistency. If the ACT subject test exists for a subject, all the classes should use them, such as biology, English, history. Is this district supporting rigor or the academic hammering of a specific group? It is our hope that the recent transition and installation of a new Board of Education is not to be used as a time of confusion, with little time to address important issues. This year's senior class seems to be enduring a major correction factor in multiple respects. We hope you address it appropriately. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mrs. Schaefer, for your feedback, and we will take all that under advisement. I think there's no one else to speak. Anyone else to speak? No? Okay.
Madam President, under approval of board minutes, I make a motion that the minutes for December 17th, 2013, January 14th, 2014, January 21st, 2014, and February 5th, 2014 will be approved as written.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Call the roll, please.
The discussion, just real quick.
Oh, discussion.
Again, that's okay. These right. were, if you recall, we had special meetings through that period, so yes. That's why they weren't presented within 2 weeks after the board meeting.
Any discussion? I'm sorry, I did pass right by that. Any discussion? Everybody good with me? Okay. Now, if you could call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, we'll move on to the Treasurer's Report.
Right. You got 2 months' worth of financial statements.
Yeah.
We will plan at the next meeting to go in depth. Okay. The financial statements and answer any questions. But again, as you get this, if you see something you don't understand, doesn't make sense, you want clarity, call me, email me, whatever you want. I'll be happy to clarify that for you. But I don't want to take the board's time tonight to go in depth into that. It's about a half hour presentation I want to do. So we'll do that at the March meeting if that's okay with the board.
You can table it to the March meeting?
We don't need to table it.
We'll just here, okay.
Tell you we'll do it at the next meeting if that's okay.
It's fine with me. Is that okay with everybody else?
And with that, I'll turn it over to the action items.
Madam President, I'd like to make the consent agenda here and say that we approve the recommendation of the Treasurer for December 2013 and January 2014 financial statements be approved as presented. Also, item two, that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the following transfer of funds be approved as presented.
Do I have a second for the consent agenda?
All right. Go ahead, Ken.
Any discussion? Any questions?
Just to clarify, the transfer is required to satisfy the contractual obligation we have with the union to provide $325 per employee for their HSA.
Okay. Call roll.
Okay. Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion's carried. Thank you.
We'll move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple things. I'll make it short and sweet. last time the board had a concern over not getting good reception, phone reception in our buildings. Mr. Penny did research that somewhat, and there is gadgets out there that will improve in that area. You're looking, to make a long story short, if you're looking at an 80,000 square feet piece of equipment, around $4,000, what that actually do is allow you Sprint, Verizon, all your different networks to come in. It'll actually take that and boost it to a higher level, as Joe told me today. So the board in the future, if you want to consider that, we can certainly go that route. You might want to look at other areas in our building. We thought maybe in the gyms, both here and at the high school, if that's what we want to come down to with the dollars spent.
Does that take care of the phone systems you guys got? I mean, if we need to get a hold of your cell phone, will that work down there?
It should, yes.
You guys got Verizon, right?
Verizon.
So is it $4,000 per building? So it's $8,000 for two buildings. That's what you're telling us.
And you can go to whatever degree you want to go, you know.
Is that the max or is that just kind of a medium? I mean,
no, there's not that much out there as we're finding out that really will get you better service within the building. There's no better in a lot of cases than your tower service. So
it's just one-time equipment upgrade.
Installed.
It's one-time equipment, but you have repairs and whatever, so it's not a buy once and forget about it, I'm sure. And this seems to be changing every day as to what's available out there. So we can come back with some more concrete the next time, if that's okay.
Could you come back with a couple different maybe quotes or some details about what it is and...
Okay.
If that's okay.
But the bottom line is there is something there, and I think Mr. Hunter
had it. I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
I think we're ready to go on the HVAC at the 4-6 building. In the next couple of weeks, we will put those mini split units out for bidding and the wiring and the electrical work. The only problem we have, and to make the board aware, we have a problem getting the gymnasium up to what needs to be to heat it and cool it. So what I would ask the board to think about is maybe go ahead and do the classrooms with the mini splits, mm-hmm. and maybe look at the gymnasium at another time because of cost. We're getting in costs on this thing. We'll know more when we get our numbers, but I think it's going to be over our budget. It's going to push our budget pretty close to do everything at this time.
Have we found out anything about the electric yet?
That'll be part of the bid that'll be going out. But the good news is the two rooms that we have the mini splits in, I was over here at 12 below zero with the wind blowing. It was 68 degrees in those rooms. So I'm convinced they'll do the job. And my other thing, and I will wait, you have coming up for first reading as a calendar. I'll wait till the next week and sort of give you a readout on House Bill 59 and how that affects our calendar as far as going from days to hours. And I'll sketch it all out for you. Then if you have questions, in the meantime, if you look at the calendar, give me a call. We'll talk about it and plug it in. We have gotten input from our MPEA, and we're getting input from the OPC group. But that is the board's call on what that calendar looks like. Right. House Bill 59 says you have to talk about it tonight on the first reading. Then you have 30 days before you actually put it into effect. And that allows for input from the community, whomever. Our times are going to be about the same. Starting time will be the same. Our number of hours, once you see the breakdown, you'll see that we'll, with this new 14 and 15 calendar, we'll actually be more hours than what we went to school this year. So I'll break that all down. You can see where we're coming from. But there's some guidelines that House Bill 59 just passed that we have to follow. I think we've got everything hammered out for the MPEA times and all our responsibilities.
That was one of the reasons, well, part of the benefits of changing over for this year with some of the extra stuff that we actually increased the hours, wasn't it, to gear up for what might be coming? Because I know it's been talked about for quite a while. Some folks in the State House have been wanting to change from days to hours for almost 2 years now, I think.
When we put the extra 20 minutes on this school year, certainly that boosts our number of hours per day and number per year. So, yes, that... But all the calamity days goes away, all the early dismissal goes away. You have, in our case, 1,001 hours at your benchmark. and you start working from there. We, at our preliminary, you'll see in the calendar, we have probably 1,200, a little over 1,200 hours this schedule will have for us. So that'll give us some time to take care of calamity days, hopefully we don't need them, and also give us some more professional, if you look at those calendars, you'll see professional days staggered throughout that calendar, full days, where now we have early dismissal for 2 hours or an hour here. We chunk those together to make it, I think it'd be more productive with our teachers and presenting our curriculum issues. So certainly look at that and give us input. We'll plug it in. And another aspect of, I'll move right on if you don't mind, and I hate to take this time, but Karen, we have to look at the Common Core standards, and the board's going to have to be acclimated to what these Common Core standards are actually talking about. And we have to go out and educate our public at the same time. So I've asked Karen to go over these as the first part to give you some idea what's going on with the Common Core standards. That does pick up the rigor part of the academics of Madison.
Thank you, Mr. Paul. What we have before us, the task this spring, is that we have to officially adopt our standards, the standards that we've been working towards. They are known as Ohio's New Learning Standards. They encompass the Common Core standards in math and language arts, but then there's also several sets of standards in other subject areas as well. You want me to take that remote?
Well, they're all PDFs.
Oh, okay, so just scroll again. I'll point to you. Ohio's New Learning Standards, over the past 4 years, the Ohio Department of Education has either written or adopted 7 new sets of standards. And in that time period, the State Department has encouraged school districts to begin using those standards and to be ready for full implementation in the 2014-2015 school year. We've been doing that as we go along. As new sets of standards come out, we've been exposing our teachers to those, exposing our students to those, so that we're ready for a full adoption for next school year. These will be the standards that our students are going to be assessed on next year. So our next step is to actually adopt the standards. The 7 new sets of standards that Ohio has written or adopted appear before you here: English Language Arts, Math, Science, Social Studies, Fine Arts and World Languages, and the Early Childhood Standards. We are going to be adopting the first 6. We don't adopt the Early Childhood Standards because we do not have a preschool program that's within our district. We have one on site, but that does not belong to our district. So we'll be adopting the first 6 sets of standards. Ohio's new learning standards are a combination. The math and language arts ones that came out in June of 2010 are what are known as the Common Core standards. A lot of times you'll hear people refer to the Common Core standards as every subject area. It's not every subject area. It's only math and language arts. Every other subject area comes to us from the Ohio Department of Education. But there are pieces of the English language arts literacy that refer into some of our science and social studies as well. So all of that is what's known as Ohio's new learning standards. Our timeline here is tonight I'm going to do the introduction to the standards for you to get you kind of familiar. In March, you're going to have your first reading of the standards, April, the second reading of the standards. Our ultimate goal is to have all of this adopted by June 2014, so that we are in compliance with the State Department and ready to go for next school year. The English Language Arts standards, when you begin to look at those standards, what you'll see is that there are anchor standards that are carried throughout all grades. They have very similar, these anchor standards are very similar K through 12, but there's a gradual progression of what students are expected to know. The new standards call for much higher levels of rigor in reading than what our old standards have called for. You'll hear a lot in the public about lexile levels and what it takes to read on level now according to the Common Core standards. One of the things I always bring up to people is what it takes to be able to read the SAT is about a 1300 at Lexile level. The a John Deere manual is written at about a 1500 level. So all of our students need those higher levels of rigor. It's not just students who are taking AP courses, whatnot. Our students, all of our students in our ag program need to be exposed to much higher levels of rigor as well. So it's for everyone. In the new standards, there are expectations that students are reading at grade level every year. And you'll see that as you read through the standards. There's an increased attention on informational text. We used to do a lot of, K-2, everything was fiction and storybooks. Now there's a huge increase in what informational text students are expected to read. By the time they get to high school, they're expected to be exposed to 70% informational text, and only 30% fictional or literary text. You'll see a strong focus on writing products. In fact, at every grade level, K to 12, students are expected to produce 3 pieces of writing a year, full pieces of writing. Of course, that varies in kindergarten to what it does in grade 12, but that's also important to know. And then the other thing that's most important for you to know is that we're asking you to adopt the standards, but not the appendices, okay? If you go to the Common Core website, you'll see the standards, and then you'll see Appendix A, Appendix B, and Appendix C. Those appendices is where all that controversy comes in. When you read newspaper articles, you hear the news, it's those recommendations that came after the standards that are very controversial. What books should be read at what levels, those kinds of things. That's not what we're adopting. We're just adopting the standards themselves. Everything else is meant as a recommendation for school districts to look at. We look at those things. We don't always do everything that's there. And we bring in, of course, our ELA consultant to help us guide us through that. So that's with our English language arts.
Karen, I got a question.
Yeah.
You brought up the level of the John Deere handbook.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask why you use that?
Why do I use that? I think it's important to our community.
But I've read that book. I've dealt with that book. Mike's dealt with that book. You're not going to deal with that book. Most of those kids down here aren't. Where is an auto owner's?
All of those manuals like that are all up there in the 13, 14, 1500s. Yeah.
That to me would be something that I'd use to compare with. Because that's something everybody's going to own.
Right.
Not everybody's going to own John Deere.
Right. Track. And, we've talked to some of our farmers in the area who maybe have some of our graduates come and go work on their farms and things, and they talk about how, you know what, I can't give that manual to a kid to go figure out how to fix this.
And most of those guys are telling you that, they can't use that manual.
And they can't either. So we need to help.
Am I lying? No. That's why you call JD equipment.
Yeah.
I've got a question too. When you talk about the 30 or the 70-30 split at high school,
it's 50-50 in the elementary.
Well, where's the fun in reading if students are going to be expecting to 70% of what they read is going to be informational?
Remember, 70% that 70% also includes what they're reading in their history courses, in their science courses, in their vocational agricultural courses. All of that is encompassed. So that 70-30 split isn't about what happens in English class alone, because mostly the 30% is going to be what's in English class, and the 70% is going to be the rest of the day.
Well, I hope that doesn't turn people off from that recreational reading, like whether it's the press, which that'd be informational though, I guess.
Right.
Or like some of the Harry Potter books, whatever new book is out there.
Sure. And our English classes will still emphasize the literary pieces, but we've got to get more reading into our other
I think that's key for the language arts. You know, you want to see those different genres and things.
The reality is the English language arts standards are written for people to be able to be successful after high school. And after high school, very few jobs deal with recreational reading or literary reading. It's all informational text. And so if our students aren't successful with that when they graduate high school, no matter what field they're going into, we haven't done our job to prepare them. You'll also notice English Language Arts is the most complex of our standards. It has three different reading domains, literature, informational text, and then our K to 5 also has what's called foundational skills, and that's that phonemic awareness, word recognition, vocabulary development, that kind of thing that happens at this level. Then there are there's a set of writing standards, there's a set of speaking and listening standards, there's language standards, which would be your grammar, your vocabulary, and then there are specific literacy standards for our history and social studies classes, our science classes, and our technical subject classes, such as our vocational agriculture or our technology courses. And there's specific reading standards for all of those classes as well. So when you dig into that, and yes, you do have a lot of homework in front of you, and I get blamed a lot for giving people homework, I apologize, but that's part of the job. So you'll see that it's a complex area, English Language Arts is. Okay. The other next set of standards that you're going to be getting into are the mathematics standards, and those are also Common Core standards. They're divided up by age groups, K-2, grades 3 through 5, grades 6 through 8, and grades 9 through 12. And from this diagram, you can see what are the big ideas that are the focus areas of all of these grade bands. There's a much, much heavier focus on number in the elementary grades than there has been in the last 15 or 20 years. Really developing students' understanding of numbers, whole numbers, fractions, as opposed to what you won't see is any of our elementary kids doing much with probability anymore. Probability, you know, rolling dice and predicting how many outcomes and all of that, that's gone away in our elementary grades. That's coming up in the 6 to 8 band and then more so in the 9 to 12 band. Probability is just a very complex topic that our old standards forced upon very young children that weren't ready to understand that yet. So then also measurement and data is in that area. All of this, if you'll notice, operations and algebraic thinking starts in kindergarten. Okay. Very appropriately, it starts in kindergarten. It's not algebra like high school algebra. It's appropriate kindergarten level algebra. But all of this is meant to prepare kids for 6 through 8. And 6 through 8 is all about getting ready for high school algebra. Okay. And it's not your mama's high school algebra anymore. It's not what we took in algebra anymore. If you go on to the next slide there, it is... There is a huge focus as you read the standards to not push kids to high school mathematics before high school. Okay, we're not accelerating kids in the 6th and 7th grade to take pre-algebra or algebra 1 any longer, because that 6 to 8 band is all about getting ready to actually take algebra as freshmen. We'll have fewer and fewer kids fall into that accelerated pathway, which is a very good thing. We're going to be developing them much more as mathematical thinkers. What we always seem to find is the kids we've pushed a year or two ahead are no longer ahead by the time they're sophomores or juniors. Those other kids have caught up to the skills that they have because they had so many holes from pushing them ahead. Appendix A is worth reading, and when you talk about the math standards, because it outlines what the high school courses should look like. The high school standards are just lots of standards that could fall under any course. Appendix A tells you, here's what you should have in a traditional Algebra 1, here's what you should have in a traditional geometry class. So those are all really worth reading. And also it's important to note that the mathematical practices are equally important to the content standards. How you go about thinking mathematically is just as important as the content that you're learning. So, the next slide deals with our science standards. Of course, we have traditional life science standards, earth science standards, physical science standards, but then also embedded in all of that is 21st century skills. Technology, engineering, technical design, scientific inquiry. So as you read through the science standards, you'll find at every grade level that is constantly building up with the science standards. Some key points that are made in the science standards is students' ability to interpret scientific explanations within the world to generate and evaluate scientific evidence and explanations to understand the nature and development of scientific knowledge. There is a K-8 program within the standards, and there's a high school program. The high school program, we offer all of the courses that are listed in those standards with the exception of physical geography right now. Okay, with the exception of physical geography, but that doesn't mean we couldn't offer it at some point later on should we have a need for an additional science course. Under social studies, all of the K to 8 standards, again, 21st century skills, everything's very global, understanding culture around the world, but understanding all those global skills and being able to implement those in regards to especially things like civic participation, economic decision making, financial literacy. All of these pieces are embedded in the K-12 standards. This is the outline of what the high school courses are within those standards. All of which we either are offering this year or are offering next year because some of those we do on a cycle. Okay. The fine arts standards, Ohio has written fine arts standards for music and visual arts, but also for dance and performing arts. We are not adopting the dance or performing arts because at this time we do not offer a fine arts program in that. So we'll really just be looking at the music and visual arts. One thing to note is we have had district representation in writing the fine arts standards. Some of our high school teachers have been part of that for the state of Ohio. So that's important to recognize Derek Scholes and Tracy Johnson for their work within that. And then it's a lot about the cognitive and creative learning processes within the fine arts. So when you take a look at that, it's not just the skill that you can perform, but the creative thinking that goes along with maybe creating a piece of music or interpreting a piece of art. Then the final set of standards are our world language standards. World language standards are all the same regardless of the language. We happen here to teach French and Spanish, but even if we were to, you know, offer another language, it would still be the same set of standards. Ohio actually writes those standards three different ways. They write a K-12 set of standards, they write a 6-12 set of standards, and then they write a 9-12 set of standards, depending on how your district chooses to implement world language. In our district, we choose to implement it at the high school level, so we will be adopting the standards in the 9-12 program. So that's brief.
Is it just the French and Spanish that the state is looking at?
No, the state applies those standards to no matter what language your district is teaching. In our district, we offer French and Spanish.
Okay. Are we still doing the Mandarin Chinese in the elementary or junior high?
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking through all the attachments to see how I'm reading. Help me understand. Are these from 2012 and we're not there yet?
No. We've been using them. We just have not officially adopted them. The state has asked us to make sure that those adoptions are done for next school year, and they've been encouraging us to use them all along.
So that's part of our plan. We've been using all those, and now we're updating.
And now we're making sure we've officially adopted them for our school district.
Okay. Well, so nothing will really change because we're already doing it?
Right. We're just making it official at this point.
State requires you.
Just check it.
And even though I wasn't here at the time some of these standards were first written and first brought out, it does make a lot of sense that we waited until now to adopt them because of testing situations. We weren't always being tested over these same standards. So we really had to transition them in before we could say we were fully implementing them. Any other questions? Thank you.
I don't have anything else. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and read you. So, Madam President, on new business, I make the motion that upon recommendation, superintendent board approve the first reading of the following board policies written below.
Second.
Any discussion? No? Okay, seeing none, will you call roll?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I make the motion upon recommendation, superintendent board approve the first reading of the 2014-2015 school calendar as presented.
I think we're going to review that at the next meeting. Is that what we were talked about? Are we reviewing that now?
It's your first reading.
First reading tonight? Okay. Do you have a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? No? Okay, will you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I make the motion upon recommendation, the superintendent board approve the OSBA annual membership dues in the amount of $4,946.
And I have a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion? I have a question. Does this include them doing all of our policies?
No.
This is just membership. Do they do our policy today or not? I got a mixed answer. Yes, some of it. No, some of it.
Policy meaning?
Our policy. You know the policy book we went through?
That comes as a result of years of collecting PDQs, and we get a quarterly update. This is what's on your scope tonight.
Okay.
Quarterly updates. And what we'd like to do is get some numbers and maybe do away with the hard copies. Because if you haven't seen that book, it's...
I saw that book, and it's this thick, and if I want to see a policy, I can't see it. I got to come to the office and look through the book, and they can do that. But they don't do any of that for us today.
They can.
But they don't. But they don't. Okay.
So it's not included in there.
That's what I wanted to know.
Madam President, I just wanted to make note that I'm going to abstain from this vote because I am on the Board of Trustees for OSBA, and it would be appropriate for me to take action.
So noted. Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Okay, I have no discussion. Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Abstain.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I make a recommendation to superintendent. I can make a motion. Upon recommendation, the superintendent of the board employ district administrator Trish Passwaters as a tutor on an as-needed basis for the balance of the 2013-2014 school year at an hourly rate of $25. The reason for this recommendation is to enable the inability to find other individuals able to provide tutor services to students who are currently needing and entitled to such services.
Do you have a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
Yeah, Trish, I'm real curious. You keep record of this, okay? Because I want to see how many people are actually taking advantage of the service that you're going to provide.
We have, right now I'm doing one who's out on pregnancy. We have Linda Wright, who usually does it for us, couldn't because her daughter had a baby in January in Montana. And so we went to another individual who couldn't do it because her mother passed away and she's back and forth to the East Coast.
And I understand that. That's why I want you to keep track of that. So if we need to bring somebody else in to do this, we'll know in the future to get that taken care of, okay?
That's fine.
Any more discussion? Mr. Ditlow?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I make the motion upon recommendation superintendent board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contracts for the 2013-2014 school year as listed below.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
These are all a result of the approval process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No discussion? Please call roll.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I make a motion upon recommendation to superintendent the board approve the following donations. London Athletic Boosters to the high school athletics in memory of Jeff Spradlin, $900.
I'll second.
I'd also like to say, so if the press is here, We are greatly appreciative of that. We appreciate London doing that. That is a very nice thing in Jeff's memory.
And I second that. Any discussion? I was at the event where they presented the check, and it was really nice, and I can tell you that we really appreciate all the support that we've gotten from all the schools and even the ones that are in the league. I think we've seen some additional support, too. It's really nice and to get behind the kids for that. If you call roll, please.
Sure. Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
We are to the new agenda item section. Is there anything new for the agenda? Anything? Anybody specifically? No?
Madam President, do you have any executive session items?
I do not.
With that, I would move to make the motion that we adjourn at 7:50.
Second?
I'll second that.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.